If you want to open your Bibles up to Lamentations, you can lament with me a little bit. This book was written by Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And if you know much about Jeremiah and what he had to go through, he had some pretty rough times in his life and difficult things to live through and for the people of Israel. So Lamentations is kind of him lamenting some of this stuff that's going on. So Lamentations, go to chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 22, which is kind of sticks out in Lamentations, I think. Chapter 3, verse 22 says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord, and it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline." So that sounds good. I mean, I've heard this scripture before in my lifetime, and quite a few times probably, especially the part where you hear his mercies are new each morning and how wonderful the Lord is. And it definitely sounds good. It's nice to think about how you get to start off each day fresh with the Lord. You know, it's like a new day with a merciful God who looks forward to teaching you new things and helping you to grow into a better person and to see your life develop who wouldn't want to put their hope into such a wonderful God who helps you every day, in new ways. But you look at this scripture and there is so much more in here than just a feel-good message. When I read it, before I get to it, let me share a little bit about what happened in my week. It started off well. On Mondays, I usually drive to Janesville and then to Cherry Valley I have a side job to help pay the bills. So Mondays, they're always busy. They're always kind of fast-paced and trying to get things done and drive to both cities. And I usually have to get that stuff done in time to meet with a small group Bible study. Or like now, we've got softball on Monday nights. And so it's really busy. So I'd gone to... This week was a little different because I had gone to Janesville on Saturday, so I had half my work done before Monday came, so I only had to go down to Cherry Valley to get some work done, so that was kind of nice. I didn't have to rush as much to get things done, and I made it to the softball game with plenty of time to get warmed up and to get things going there, and we had a great couple of games. It was kind of windy, so it was a little cool, but otherwise we had good time. The games went well. I was actually able to hit the ball every time I got up to bat except for once, so that was kind of impressive, and it was that was nice, and I actually, for the second game, I made the game-winning catch that ended the game, so that was nice to be a part of that. So I was feeling really good and thanking the Lord that I didn't mess it up in softball. And then Monday night, I ran into a snag. I got home, and I was counting money that I'd collected on that day in Cherry Valley, and I needed to deposit it on Tuesday, and it was about $175 that I was missing. And I didn't know what happened to it. I looked everywhere and couldn't find it, so it was a real stressful deal. And it was too late to call anybody where it might have been missing, so I had to wait till the next day. So I spent it's hard to fall asleep when you're stressed out. You've probably been in that situation before. If you're missing something or you're in a situation where there's nothing you can do and you have to wait, and it's hard to sleep. And I remember dreaming. I tried sleep. I finally fell asleep, and I actually had dreams about the missing money and how terrible it was. I couldn't get out of my mind, so I spent all Monday night worrying about it and dreaming about it and was just had disturbed sleep because of it. So I woke up the next day and waited for the businesses to open up on Tuesday morning and started making phone calls and found the great thing was some kind soul, a girl, had found the money and turned it in, and I was able to track down and call the people who were holding on to it. So my worry and stress turned into joy. So it was a great morning. I had a worry, stressful night, but that morning was a great day. And so I was happy and I was praising the Lord, doing a happy dance. I mean, it was just a good morning. And so I've thought about that the whole time after that happened. I thought about, this must be, you know, Jesus told the parable about the woman who had 10 coins and she lost one. And I thought, I can identify with that now. I really feel what she probably would have gone through. And, you know, I always thought it was weird that this woman had 10 coins. She lost one. And so Jesus tells a story that she searched everywhere. She swept the whole house and cleaned everything, turned it all upside down, and finally found it. And she found this one coin. And then she invited everybody over to celebrate with her. Let's have a party because I found the coin that I was missing. And I thought, well, that's weird. Why would you throw a party because you're missing one coin? But if you think about it, one of those silver coins is probably worth $100. I mean, it's probably worth a lot of money. So it was a big deal. So I finally realized, you know, I lost a chunk of change and found it again. So, yeah, that was worth celebrating. And I was really happy, and I felt so good about it. And so I can see why she would be happy about finding that lost coin, especially if it was meant to pay the bills or maybe she was saving up for something special, that sort of thing. So anyway, I was getting ready to drive down to go pick up the lost money and had gotten ready. I was actually at the bottom of the stairs and was going to tie my shoes. I lifted one foot up and set it on the step and tied that shoe. I lifted the other foot up, set it on the step, and it's like somebody stabbed me in the back with a knife. Like, I mean, it's like right in your spine. And some of you have told me about how you've had back problems, and man, that hurt. And I fell to the ground. And was kind of writhing in agony. So here I'm laying on the steps in terrible pain. I couldn't move. All I could do is just lay there. It was bad. And eventually it kind of subsided a little bit. It was still really sore, but I was able to get up and move around. But every step was painful. And it was. I called the doctor, and Jenna drove me there to get me checked out. And they gave me some medicine to help with the pain. And even still, that night, I couldn't get comfortable. I couldn't find any position to sleep in. You know, it didn't matter. Lift your legs, lift your head, lay on your side, whatever. I just couldn't fall asleep. And finally, I got to the point where the pain medicine kicked in enough that I was able to get some sleep. But the next morning, I couldn't move. It was like just any sort of movement was shot agony into my spine. It was so terrible, and I couldn't get up. I was incapacitated. I couldn't roll over. I couldn't lean up. I was scared. You know, am I going to be there? We're going to call an ambulance or something so I can get out of bed? Jenna said she thought I was going through labor. Because every time it's like a wave would hit, and I'd trying to breathe my way out of it. And so she said, now you're going through what I went through. And, you know, I suppose that losing a limb, never happened to me, would probably be more painful, I'm guessing. And I've never given birth to anybody or passed a kidney stone, and I've heard those are pretty bad. So, I'm guessing some of you could tell me that you've had worse pain than I've dealt with, but it was the worst pain I've ever felt. And there was nothing that I could do to get rid of it. There was no position I could get in. There was, you know, the medicine wasn't helping. So I went to the chiropractor, and I was walking in at the same time. There was an old man walking with a cane. We were both going about the same speed. And I was jealous that he had the cane. I was like, I wish I had a cane. And so I want you to have that picture in your head of, you know, maybe you've gone through similar kind of pain where you've just felt it just hurts so much. Maybe you've felt that. Picture that in your head. And let me read the scripture that I just read in context. This is Lamentations. I'll start at the beginning of chapter 3. This is Jeremiah again. He says, I am the one who has seen the afflictions that come from the rod of the Lord's anger. He has led me into darkness, shutting out all light. He has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and flesh grow old. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and surrounded me with anguish and distress. He has buried me in a dark place like those long dead. He has walled me in. I cannot escape. He has bound me in heavy chains. And though I cry and shout, he has shut out my prayers. He has blocked my way with a high stone wall. He has made my road crooked. He has hidden like a bear or a lion waiting to attack me. He has dragged me off the path and torn me in pieces, leaving me helpless and devastated. He has drawn his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He shot his arrows deep into my heart. My own people laugh at me. All day long they sing their mocking songs. He has filled me with bitter herbs and made me drunk with bitterness. He has made me chew on gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. Peace has been stripped away, and I have forgotten what happiness is. I cry out, my endurance has expired. I have lost all hope of deliverance from the Lord. Remember my poverty and hopelessness, which are a bitter poison. I can't stop thinking about it, and I am depressed. Yet I still have hope when I remember this. the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord, and it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. Let them sit alone in silence beneath the Lord's discipline. Let them lie face down in the dust, for there may be hope at last. Let them turn the other cheek to those who strike them and accept the insults of their enemies. For the Lord will not reject us forever. Though he brings grief, he also shows compassion because of the greatness of his unfailing love, for he does not willingly afflict people or cause them sorrow. So Jeremiah is speaking to the trials and the tribulations of his people who had sinned and they found judgment because of that. And he's talking from a very personal perspective of how terrible a situation he's in. But he doesn't dwell on that. He explains it. He says, yes, this is what we're going through. But guess what? I still hope in the Lord. The Lord is still faithful. The Lord is still merciful. The Lord won't leave us alone forever. The Lord is coming back, and he's using this discipline to teach us. And so it's good to take this discipline. And I thought that, you know, as I was sitting in pain, that it would be good to bring this up. Because there's, you know, after so many warnings to his people, God finally brought judgment. He warned them over and over and over and over again. And he finally brought judgment upon their Israel for their sins. And they faced some pretty extreme hardships as a nation because of this. And Jeremiah shares personally just how bad things have gotten for him and for his people. And in the midst of his own pain and the tribulation of his people, he says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Their people are they're living in captivity. They're prisoners. They're conquered. And he says, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Basically, he says, I know what pain is like. And even in the worst of trials, I will not give up hope in the Lord. I know he disciplines for a reason. And I know that I can trust in him and that he doesn't want people to suffer for no reason. He wants people to turn to him and live good lives and find real hope that lasts. I know many of you have been through serious pain, and some of it's probably physical, some of it's probably spiritual. Sometimes you've had emotional pain, like when you've lost a loved one or something really bad has happened in your life. Some of you have suffered far worse physical pain than I have. You've endured it for a much longer time. Probably none of us have ever felt the kind of persecution that the apostles felt. I mean, they went through worse than probably any of us have ever faced. But through my own pain, I've kept thinking of verses like in Romans 5, at verse 3, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. In the midst of whatever's going wrong in your life or whatever has gone wrong in your life, you can still hope in the Lord. You can still trust in him. And there's something that far outweighs any pain that we might suffer right now. I try not to whine or complain about the pain that I started feeling last week. I've been very grateful for Jenna. I mean, sometimes it hurt so bad I couldn't talk, and that kept me from complaining, of course. But I feel bad that I can't lift the things that I can usually lift. I can't do the things I can usually do. But I don't want to just sit around and whine about it. Instead, I try to share my thankfulness for the good things. That even in the midst of it, that I told Jenna how I was thankful for. We have a recliner at home. And it's the one chair that I can sit in comfortable. I actually have been sleeping in it because I can't sleep in the bed. And so I can actually lay there and not be in too much pain. And so I said, I'm really thankful for this recliner. I'm glad that we have it. And I could sleep up without the shooting pains that I had when I was slept in the bed. And Sharon found a walker at the church that she brought to my house. And I said, I was thankful for that walker because I could get up and walk around and not be bound to a chair. So, I mean, it's, you would think, to be thankful for a walker. It's kind of silly, but I was really grateful for it. And I was definitely thankful to Jenna, who's been taking good care of me in the midst of my pain, in spite of having to take care of a couple of kids at the same time. And I thought that maybe today, in the midst of my pain, that I could be an encouragement to you in the things that you face, and the struggles that you face, and the trials that we all face, that you know, whatever you might be suffering. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about hoping in the Lord. I mean, it's just repeated over and over and over that God is a good God, a merciful God, a God we can trust in and depend on, and that he'll be with us through whatever we face, that he won't let the waters rise above our head, but he'll make sure that we stay just where we'll, you know, he doesn't say he'll make it easy, but he says he'll make it so that we can make it, that we can pull through. Sometimes the Lord disciplines us because he loves us, and he knows that we can do better. He knows that we can improve, and so he says, I got to discipline you because I know you can do better than this. I know you can grow better than this. And so sometimes we face the consequences of poor decisions, things that we've done wrong, bad choices we make, and so we face the results of those bad choices, and we have to deal with those, and that's our fault. But and sometimes bad things just happen that are completely out of our control, things that we have no ability to influence. It's just bad stuff happens. Your back goes out on you. There's nothing I could do about it. Sometimes, you know, whatever, regardless, it's good to give our praises to God. In the midst of whatever we suffer, in the midst of whatever we're going through, it is good to praise the Lord, to put your hope in him, to be thankful to him, even when it's easier to think about our troubles. Because a lot of times it is easier to think about our troubles and to worry, get focused on ourselves and how bad we're doing and what's going wrong in our lives. It's good to hope in the Lord, especially when times are tough, especially when things are difficult, because the Lord is the one who can take you through it. The Lord is the one who can make sure that the waters don't rise above your head. The Lord is the one that can say, I will be with you. God promises to be with us when times are tough. If we'll stick by him, he'll stick by us. He promises to see us through the tribulations. And even if everything falls apart and we die in the worst of circumstances, guess what? God is still with us. And we know that our hope will find reward in eternity, that we can count on God through thick and thin. We aren't meant to just sing cheesy songs to the Lord. You know, to read scriptures like this and you know, just say, yeah, the Lord is good and that's nice, and sing songs and praises without our hearts being in it. God wants our hearts. He wants us to feel that connection, there to be a reason behind our praise. We aren't meant to quote verses about God's mercy without our soul in it, without our hearts in it. We aren't meant to pray prayers that are nothing but whining. It's good to share your pains and your troubles with the Lord, but don't whine about it. Don't say, oh, woe is me, poor me, this is all, it's just my life is so terrible, this always happens to me. Give your troubles to the Lord, but then keep your trust in him. Keep your faith in him. Know that he's going to see you through. Know that he'll be there to make sure that you can survive it. We are meant to live lives of hope and of joy and of peace, and to know the very real benefits of having a relationship with God, no matter what we face, no matter what kind of trials we go through. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the things that go wrong and to focus on how we're suffering and to complain about our troubles. And often it seems so easy to not say anything when things go right. It's like we kind of ignore it. When everything's going good and our lives are pain-free and we're happy and things are wonderful, it's like we don't notice it. And we don't take the time to say, thank you, Lord, that my life is so good right now. Thank you that I have all these wonderful things. And then when things go bad, all of a sudden, if we give our attention to God, say, Lord, why'd you do this to me? Why are things so terrible? We need to make sure that we don't overlook the many blessings that our lives are full of, especially when we're going through some pain. The blessing of just being in connection with God and knowing that life is good. And some people are just, you know, negative people sometimes, and that's tough, but maybe just having a reminder to look for the positive things when you don't bother trying to find them. Today's a good day to look for the positive things, to count your many blessings. Wallowing in your sorrow won't do you any good. It doesn't do anybody any good. There's not much of a point in focusing on all the bad things that happen to you, the negatives in life. On the other hand, if you look at the good things, if you count your blessings, if you're thankful to God, it not only makes things better because you're focusing on the bright side, but it helps us to see things that you might not have paid attention to before, that you might not have really noticed before. If you take the time to think about how have I been blessed today, and you start seeing those positives and you start counting those blessings and saying thank you to God for them, it you know, just kind of naturally, the byproduct helps you to get in a better mood, but it also helps you to start thinking about things that you haven't thought of before. I have a car that drives. I have clothes to wear. I have a house to live in. I have a family. I have health other than what I might be suffering. I think it makes it a lot easier for God to bless us when we're thankful for the blessings that he's already given us. Imagine if your own kids did nothing but whine and complain after you spent so much time and effort trying to take care of them and provide for them and bless them. What's the point of focusing on the negative? When you acknowledge the good things, they become more prevalent. Because I think the same way that any parent is going to want to give more blessings to a kid that's thankful, I think God is going to give more blessings to his children who are thankful. I'm sure that, you know, that's true of any parent. It's true of me. Our kids aren't old enough to really do much whining. But I think that as they get older, don't you think God would be much happier about renewing his mercies afresh each morning for someone who truly appreciated them? I'd like to encourage you this morning, whatever you might be facing. Maybe life is great for you today, and I hope it is. But if it's not, if you're going through some difficulties and some trials and some suffering, don't give God your complaints. It's okay to say what hurts or what's bad or what's wrong and say, help me through this. But don't just sit there and whine. And don't let your praises and the thanks that we're called to give God, don't let it be cheesy, empty, meaningless words. Let it truly come from a thankful heart. Be the kind of person that notices the good and is thankful for the good. Think about just how much God has done for you, just how much God has made possible for you, and have a truly thankful heart full of real praise. Jesus really does want us to enjoy life. I believe that. Jesus wants us to have a good life, a blessed life, a life full of joy and of cheerfulness and of good feelings, and regardless of an individual circumstances. You know, we all face suffering. Jesus' disciples, the apostles, and the apostle Paul went through terrible things, but they never focused on that. They said, yeah, this is the story, bad things happen, but guess what? We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord even in our sufferings. We praise the Lord that we were able to be beaten because we know Jesus. We're so thankful that we got whipped because we proclaimed his name, that we got to suffer and part of what he suffered. We're thankful for that. Have an attitude shift that says, I thank you, Lord, no matter what I'm going through. And I thank you that you're a faithful God, that you are with me through thick and thin. In Matthew, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is kind of telling a story about this. At verse 20, Matthew 11 at verse 20, Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. He said, what sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented their sins long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. I tell you, Tyre and Sidon would be better off on judgment day than you. And you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No, you will go down to the place of the dead, for if the miracles I did for you had been done in wicked Sodom, it would still be here today. I tell you, even Sodom will be better off on judgment day than you. And at that time, Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So right after he tells those stories that the towns that have seen his miracles and nobody repented, nobody turned to God and said, this is amazing, God, I'll change my life. I know that I need to be a different person, and I'm going to follow you now. He did miracles, and they saw it with their own eyes, and they chose not to repent, chose not to believe, chose not to follow Christ. And he said, it's going to be worse for you than it was for Sodom that was destroyed in brimstone. It's going to be worse for you than these towns that already faced judgment, because you saw the living God in the flesh and saw his miracles, and you chose not to turn to him. Jesus gave his all to save the people. Everyone that he saw as he traveled around to all the cities in the region, and he taught people everywhere he went and did amazing miracles and healed people and brought people back to life and cast out evil spirits. And in spite of everything he did, how many people just ignored who Jesus was and just watched the tricks and thought it was neat and then went home? They ignored the truth and continued in their selfish and sinful lives. And with that thought in mind, he said, I can give people who want rest, rest. People who are really weary and burdened down, I can help you. If you'll truly follow me, if you'll live life the way I teach, you'll find peace. Take my yoke upon you, because it's a whole lot easier than the things that you're dealing with in the world, and you carry those burdens. You can see the many blessings in the midst of your suffering if you'll follow me. The same prophet who shared hope in the midst of his lamentations and Israel's hardships shared God's hope for his people. And this is in Jeremiah 29:11. I know you've heard this many times. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And that thought that says there are plans for you, good plans, hopeful plans, it's revealed to a people who are still held in captivity by an enemy nation. We live in a world damaged by sin. I've talked about that before. We know you can turn on the news any day and see suffering and sickness and death and sadness and terrible things, and that's the world we live in. And in the midst of those trials that we face and the troubles that we may encounter in this world, God tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And that's the hope we're called to focus on. Not the troubles of this world, not the tribulations we face, the temporary suffering that we have. I mean, of course we face troubles, very real dangers sometimes. There is still an enemy on the loose who wants to destroy us, who wants to separate us from God, who wants to see us defeated. But Jesus said, if we enter in through him, if we come to him to safety, we can face the danger and survive. He said the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And in the midst of a thief out there who wants to steal and kill and destroy, he said, my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. In the midst of the enemy trying to attack you, in the midst of a world filled with sin and death and suffering, in the midst of whatever troubles or trials or pain you might be facing, Jesus says, I have come to give you a rich and satisfying life, a life to the full. And that's what I want you to see. I want you to see the true hope, the peace that goes on beyond understanding. We aren't called to a cheesy, empty, boring, pitiful life. We aren't called to focus on all our little problems and whine and complain about how tough life is. We are called to find our strength in the Lord, who is sufficient for all of us, who is sufficient for every need in the midst of our troubles. We are called to rise above the deception of the enemy, to step outside of the world's boundaries, to find hope regardless of what we might face in this life, and to see the truth of what God has for us. C.S. Lewis, I love what he wrote in a book called The Weight of Glory. He said this, indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. We focus on the things of this world, and that's where we lose hope. Because then when the pain comes and all those things of this world don't matter, you realize that you have nothing unless you have God. How about you? Are you far too easily pleased? And on the flip side, are you far too easily depressed and lost in that depression? If so, you've got a problem. You need to have the Lord in your life. It's time to go deeper. It's time to start learning about the peace that passes understanding. It's time to start getting connected to to start living your life for God's glory, for something so far beyond this physical existence, that to go where you've never gone before. It's time to trade the wine and the cheese of religiosity for the true joy of salvation that infiltrates every aspect of our life. It's time to praise the Lord for real and not just pay him lip service. And that's why I picked Psalm 96. And I'll read it again. It says, "Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty fill his sanctuary. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory that he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. Tell the nations, the Lord reigns. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. He will judge all the people fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest rustle with praise before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with his truth. We serve a mighty God. We serve the God, the only God, who created us in his image, who created the universe. And he created us to be like him and to have an eternal relationship with him. Open your eyes to that truth, to the depth of what that means, to see that everything else of this world pales in comparison. All the pleasures that this world can offer and all the pain that this world can offer means nothing in sight of a holy God. Last two scriptures I want to read. Philippians 4 at verse 6 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And the next time you're suffering, or if you're suffering now, if you're going through troubles, see through that pain. See beyond that. I mean, take it to God, give it to God, ask for his help, but see beyond that. Don't focus on that. See what's much bigger than that. Even if it hurts so much you can't talk or move, put your hope in the Lord, who will see you through it all, who can even use it to make you a better person. God used my pain so that I could share about how good he is. So use whatever you're going through so that you can praise the Lord and see the blessings that he gives us. I want to finish with this scripture from James chapter 1 at verse 2. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Praise the Lord for everything he's given us. Praise the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy, for his salvation, that takes us beyond pain and suffering, that takes us beyond the small joys of this world to a joy that goes beyond everything else forever and ever and ever. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you do discipline us to turn us into better people. I thank you that when we're going through things that we have no control over, that you're with us to see us through, that you're by our sides. I thank you that we can trust in you, that if we die now, and that we get to go see you, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if we don't die and we keep going, that eventually we'll see you when you come back, and we'll get to be in connection with you finally and know the joys and the blessings of having a relationship with you. I pray if there's anyone here, Lord, who does not know that, who has not experienced that, who doesn't know the peace that passes understanding, that you would help them see the truth and get a glimpse of what it's really like to have a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that we would never give you empty praises and cheesy songs that aren't from our heart, but that all our thanks and all our praise would come from our innermost self, from the depths of our soul, in thankfulness and in joy because of you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.